Louisiana Tech is coming off a 48-35 win over Idaho. Again, fourth most offensive yards in school history. Two little housekeeping notes from that game. Statistical changes. Eric Harper was credited with a catch of 14 yards that was meant to go to David Grew. And also on Idaho's missed field goal from 50 yards out, I believe that was in the third quarter, Shaquille Lucas did get a hand on that, so he's credited with a blocked field goal for that play. Louisiana Tech will play at number 2 Boise on Tuesday, October 26th at 7 p.m. Central Time. That is being broadcast on ESPN2. Beth Mowens will call play-by-play. David Norrie and Robert Smith will provide analysis. It'll be the fifth time in school history Tech's faced the second-ranked team in the nation. Practice schedule this week. Team will practice today, tomorrow. Those practices are open to the public and to the media. And then the teams will have closed practices on Saturday and Sunday. Team will travel to Boise on Monday for Tuesday night's game.
What time today and tomorrow?
4 o'clock. Be 4 o'clock practice. Boise's coming off a 48-0 win at San Jose State. They're ranked second in all the polls except the BCS, in which they're ranked third. So with that, we'll open up for the Coach Dykes.
Well, it was good. Good win for us last week. Felt like we finally started to play a little bit better offensively, and some things started clicking for us. And I felt like it was kind of one of those things that we were close to getting there at times this season, but we were able to sustain it for most of the game. Against Idaho, and Idaho coming into the game statistically had a pretty good defense, and we felt like they had a good defense after watching tape on them. They played hard. They were, real sound in what they did schematically, and we're happy with the way we moved the football. The biggest thing we've got to do is we had four turnovers. We've got to get those turnovers corrected. Would have liked to have seen what we would have been able to do offensively without the turnovers. I think it would have been fun to watch. But, the fact is that, we turned it over four times, and that hurt us. And gave them an opportunity to hang around in the game and make it probably a little closer game than it should have been. But the good thing is, we're improving. I thought we really played well as a team. I thought the offense did a good job of stepping up when they needed to. Defense got stops when they needed to. And special teams made plays when it was critical to do that. Especially the kickoff return in the second half I thought was really critical. Lawfeet got a 51-yard kickoff return to start the second half, and felt like that was important to get some momentum. We took that drive down and scored, and then got a stop defensively pretty quickly thereafter, and really kind of took control of the ball game first two or three possessions in the third quarter, and was happy about doing that. we just got to continue to keep getting better and improving, and knew it was a matter of time because our players had practiced so well. And I think despite the 1-4 start, our guys continue to believe in themselves and work hard and continue to improve. And I think that's what is a little bit unique about our team is I think we're, 8 games in and we're still getting better. Are we 8 games in?
7
games in. 7 games in and we're getting better still. And so that doesn't happen all the time. A lot of times teams kind of top out 3 or 4 or 5 games in and really don't play as good on the back end because, they have injuries and they get worn down and beat up a little bit. And so, I'm proud that our guys are still improving. I think we're still, still have a long way to go. But I like the direction we're heading in because I do think we're getting better really offensively, defensively, and we're getting more consistent in our special teams as well. So a good win for us. And, Boise State's obviously a good football team, and these are the kind of games that I think are fun to coach in because, your players are going to be excited about playing. All we have to do is turn the film on. I mean, these guys watch ESPN, and they've seen Boise State play for a long time, and so we just got to turn the film on and show them their team, and they realize how good they are, and all you got to do is look at the statistics. Very few times in college football history can I ever think of a team that's number one in the nation in total defense and number three in total offense. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. Usually a team is going to be really good on offense and adequate on defense, or really strong on defense and adequate on offense, and the fact that they're dominating on both sides of the ball is really kind of unusual, and just goes to show what kind of program they have. So it'll be fun for us, playing on a Tuesday night. I think it'll be exciting for our players. Our schedule this week is going to stay as consistent as possible. We practiced on Monday night, gave our players 2 days off to relax a little bit. We haven't had many days off and felt like it was important for them to get a little bit of a break, to focus on academics and just be a student for a couple of days. And then today we'll have a Monday practice and continue the rest of the week. Friday will be a Tuesday, Saturday will be a Wednesday, Sunday will be a Thursday practice. And we'll practice a little bit earlier on Saturday and a little bit earlier on Sunday as well to try to give them a little time to enjoy their afternoons. So that's the plan this week, and then we'll leave Monday morning and go play on Tuesday night. So excited about the game and anxious to see how we respond. I think for whatever reason, I don't know that I've been able to put my finger on it. Our team hasn't played very well on the road. I think we weren't very good when we played Texas A&M, and we just weren't a very good football team at that point of the season. I think we're still looking for an identity. I'm not saying that we're the Green Bay Packers or anything yet, but we're getting a little better. And then I think Hawaii was kind of, I think we played really well there the second half and gave ourselves a chance to get back in the ball game. So, the key for us against these guys is to hang in the game early. If you look at the scoreboard, it's funny, you put the film on and you watch, and every time you watch a game, you watch the other team have the football, and then you look back on the scoreboard, it's 14-0. And then all of a sudden you look back again and it's 21-0, and then you look back, it's 35-0, and it's the second quarter, and you're going, wow, how'd this happen, And it just seems like it's, they do a great job of starting fast. I think that's something they emphasize in their program, is to get off to a great start. And I think when they're playing with the kind of confidence they're playing with and have the tremendous carryover in their program that they've had for a long time, their kids, have all been coached in the same system for 5 years on offense, defense, and special teams. They haven't changed. They don't change. I think it's a real credit to their athletic director for being as consistent as he has been. When they've lost coaches in the past, they've hired guys within from the staff. I think Dirk Cutter left, and they promoted Dan Hawkins. Dan Hawkins left. They promoted Chris Peterson, and they've been able to maintain a consistent program. And I think that's been a key to their success, is they have a formula that works. They've got really good coaches, and they do a good job of playing hard and playing smart. Biggest thing they don't do is they don't beat themselves. They make you beat them. And it's funny, you turn the film on and people drop snaps against them and people fumble handoffs against them, and a lot of things that they don't do against other people, they seem to do against Boise. And I think it's because Boise's just got a really good mojo going for them right now, and they know how to win and know how to make plays. And so we'll have our hands full, but it'll be fun to go kind of see where we are.
We saw Oregon State paint their practice field blue. I'm not assuming y'all are going to do that, but do you think that turf makes any difference?
I think it's part of the whole deal. We kind of had that deal going for us at Texas Tech, not to the extent that they do, but, we had all these people that dressed up like pirates and, these kind of – it was like a freak show, And so I kind of think that's part of the whole deal there is, it's just different. And I think psychologically it probably does make a difference, honestly. We're not going to talk about it one time to our players. I don't know what talking about it does. I think it's – the big thing was us, we just got to go play well. And, we got to treat this game like we do any other, just in terms of trying to prepare well and practice well and one day at a time, have a good Monday practice and, then work on having a good Tuesday and just kind of go that way as opposed to, to making a big production. You know, I think Oregon State probably did that because, you know, they're a little further along in their program than we are in terms of, you know, I think they can push buttons a little bit more and do some things because they've kind of gotten over the hump as a program. And we're certainly not there yet.
You know, some people have said, though, that blue turf and their blue uniform, it really makes it kind of difficult for Phillips then.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, you can't see any numbers at all. I mean, it's like, you know, you watch the film and you can't tell who anybody is. And, you know, after two or three days of watching, you can kind of learn who the players are by just their, you know, their body type and their size and their posture and that kind of stuff. And so after you watch it three or four days, like I said, you kind of start getting a feel for who they are, and you don't really need to see the numbers as much. But it is, it's initially, it's hard to pick out who's playing and who's in the game and that kind of stuff.
What's your view of playing on Tuesdays? I know fans and even some people involved in some of the BCS conferences sort of shun playing Tuesday, Wednesdays.
Yeah, you know,
hokey.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I know this. When I go home Tuesday night, I usually try to catch the second half of those games. I mean, I watch them. You know, I mean, it's, if you're a college football fan, if it's on, you're going to watch it. And, you know, I think it's good for the WAC. I mean, you know, we're not going to, you know, Louisiana Tech Boise State's not going to go head to head with Alabama, Florida. And so this gives us a chance to get on television. And so I think it's good for the league. I really do. I think the more you can get on television. And I think Boise State's built their national reputation on playing these Tuesday games and Thursday games. And now they've got a national following as a result of playing those games. You know, I think they, as I said, I think for a while they were kind of looked at as a freak show type of trick plays and all that stuff, which that's not what made the program good. What made the program good was the nuts and bolts of the whole thing. But, you know, the trick plays against Oklahoma and winning the Fiesta Bowl, I think, you know, to the casual fan, you know, made them think, well, this is kind of a fun little program. But, you know, what makes them good is, you know, I mean, what they do down after down after down, not the one or two trick plays they run.
You've been a part of a lot of the major conferences. Can they compete in the Big 12, SEC?
No question. I mean, it's like anything else. When you play five ranked teams, or when you're in the Pac-10, and, you know, and nine of the 10 teams could really beat anybody on any given Saturday. You know, it's hard to say that in this league, you know, where Boise State is at least. And so I think there's a little bit of a break that way, but in terms of can they compete against the top teams in the country, without a doubt they can, you know, and can they do it consistently? I think again, if they were kind of a nice little program that ran a couple of trick plays and that kind of stuff, you'd say, well, they probably can't. But I think when you look at the grand scheme of things and look how they play football and how solid they are, you know, across the board, I think you can't help but say, yeah, these guys can compete in any conference.
Being the first year coach and trying to build a reputation here, just what kind of opportunity is this to be on national TV?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good. You know, we wish, it's like anything else, you kind of wish we were a little further along in our progress, you know, but that's okay. I mean, you know, it's a great challenge for us. It'll be fun. And, you know, we just need to go play well. And if we play well, then it'll be a beneficial game for us. It'll be like any other game. And if we play well, we'll have a chance to win, and it'll be beneficial to our program. If we don't play well, it's, you know, it's not beneficial.
Are you a moral victory guy? Is there any other result that's acceptable except a win?
Well, I think as a coach, your job is to get your players to play as well as they can play. And if they play as well as they can play, I think we're good enough to win. But you know, I mean, if I came back on Wednesday, put the film on, and said, "Boy, we played as good as we can play and lost," you know, it's not really a moral victory. You still lost, and ultimately, that's what you want to do is win the game. But it makes you feel better. You know, again, like as I said, is I think if we go and play as well as we can play, I think we'll win.
You mentioned that they're number one in total offense, number three in total defense.
I think the other way. I think
you know, when you're trying to game plan against a team, you try to find a weakness. You know, how difficult has it been, obviously, to game plan and try to find a weakness against
a team like this? You know, what we've got to do is just do what we do. I mean, that's ultimately what good football teams do is, you know, you say, well, how do we match up against them here, and what can we take advantage of? And, And our deal is we just got to execute plays. And if we do that, I think we'll be able to move the football. And if we can move the football consistently, then I think we'll score some points. And then we got to get some stops on defense. You know, the thing with us is we've got to take better care of the football. I think that's got to be, you know, that's going to be really critical for us having a chance to win this game is just, you know, not turning the football over three or four times. And you go back and you look at the games we've won, we haven't turned it over that much with the exception of last week, you know, and in the games we've lost, we've turned it over three or four times.
And are you more confident going into Tuesday with Greer having a career day, Jenkins having a career day, to where it looks, besides for the turnovers, like everything's moving the way it should?
Yeah, I mean, I feel better overall as a program. I don't think it makes me feel any better about playing these guys. You know, I mean, I don't know that, you know, but it makes me feel like we're making progress and we're improving. And, you know, if we continue to do that, then you're going to feel good about where your head is. You know, you're never going to feel that, you know, like you've gotten there, really. But you're going to certainly like the direction you're heading in.
Coach, a week and a half ago, you voted Nebraska number one. Is that right?
Yeah. Boy, you can see how smart I was. I think I voted Boise number one this week. Yeah. I just, you know, I think their resume is, you know, it's just impressive. You know, they, you know, everybody said, well, we'll find out what kind of team Boise has when they got to go out east and they got to play, you know, Virginia Tech. And, you know, and they got off to a great start like they typically do. Virginia Tech made a good comeback. And, you know, there's not many college football teams in the country that are more talented than Virginia Tech just in terms of talent. You know, and then Virginia Tech goes ahead late and Boise, you know, kind of says, hey, no problem. We've done this before. And, I mean, I don't think they were at all – I mean, didn't seem at all even nervous about it. I mean, it was just kind of like they went about their business and they drove it down, scored, and won the game, you know, and got stops on defense when they needed to. And so that's just what they do. You know, they do what it takes to win games. And as I said, they don't beat themselves. I mean, you have to play very well to have a chance to beat them.
They are obviously the BCS busting child. If you can take your position out of the mix this week, obviously your goal is to beat these guys. But every other athletic director in the WAC, they want to see Boise State continue to win because it makes athletic budgets for this entire conference if they continue to do what
yeah.
they do.
Yeah.
You know, how does that – I mean, that's odd, obviously, from where you've been that have been like that. But in this conference, everybody wants Boise to win because it makes everyone's budget.
Yeah. You know, I've never even thought about that one time. So
that's why I'm asking you to take yeah. that out of the mix, but I mean, just think.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of strange. I mean, the fact that you're rooting for somebody who's leaving your conference and all that kind of stuff, but – you know, hey, everybody's looking for a buck, I guess, right?
Coach, you said you guys got to do what you do, but implementing this new offense we've seen the last couple of weeks, you've done various things. I mean, you know, you run the Wildcat a lot, and then
yeah.
pistol. I mean,
you know,
what do you do?
Yeah, it's kind of like what I was saying about Boise State running some tricks. I mean, you know, we run the Wildcat or pistol, whatever, you know, 6-8 times a game out of 80 plays, let's say. And so the nickel and dimes, I mean, the nuts and bolts of the offense are the other 80 plays you run or the other 72 plays you run. And so, you know, I think every week you want to have a little bit of a change-up, show the defense a little something different. But ultimately it's about the other 72 plays and executing those plays. You know, and then the other stuff is kind of fun, and that's what people pay attention to and, you know, and always gets the, you know, the publicity. But the you know, the other stuff, the bread and butter stuff is the most important.
You obviously you're not going to give us your game plan, but is there another formation you've got ready for this week?
You know, we'll look and see. You know, we're still kind of in the process of getting through the tape and coming up with some ideas. But there's, you know, I mean, this is a team that you've got to try to keep them off balance a little bit if you can. You know, they're just really sound and they've seen it all. And you know, their guys have been playing for a long time, and so they're not a group that's going to get tricked easily. I mean, their coaches have been there. They've worked together. They know how to make adjustments. They're all on the same page, and their players are kind of that way as well. And so, you know, when you're battle-tested like they are and you've had tremendous consistency in your program, you know, then, you know, you're going to be further along than people that haven't. And, you know, I mean, Kellen Moore hadn't had three different offenses to learn like Ross has, you know, and I think that pays dividends.
You mentioned earlier in the season that there were big plays to be had, but a lot of it was predicated on wide receivers being able to hold their blocks? Are you starting to see?
Yeah, we're doing everything better. I mean, we're blocking better. We're reading stuff better at the quarterback position. We're protecting a little better. You know, the receivers are settling faster and going straight upfield more. And, you know, all the little things, the fundamental stuff that make any offense work. You know, we're better at now than we were. And is it, you know, we're certainly not there by any stretch of the imagination, but we're certainly better than we were. And that's what, you know, that's what makes the stuff work. I mean, it's, you know, everybody wants to talk about the, you know, who the quarterback is or, you know, how deep the guys get the ball in the backfield or how many times so-and-so touches the ball and all that. And, you know, that has a part too, but the big thing is just doing the stuff you do well and getting better at it and being able to execute it. And that's the difference in us is, you know, you turn the film on against Texas A&M and we got people open everywhere, you know, but, you know, could we hold up front? Could our quarterback get him the ball? Could they get open as well as they needed to? And when we threw it to them, did they catch it? Did they turn straight upfield? I mean, you know, and you look at games like that, and it's a train wreck, you know, and you're not doing anything right. And then, you know, we got a little bit better the next week. And I think we all saw kind of the potential of it the first half against Navy, you know, and were we to the point where we could do it for two halves? No. You know, and then the Southern Miss, we didn't play well, and they were a little bit better defensively. And, you know, and so, I mean, it's just been, you know, we're better now than we were. And as I said, the last 2 weeks we've gotten better, but a lot of that has to do with who we've played. I mean, you know, that's one thing I think people don't consider sometimes when they start looking at teams and how they're doing is, you know, who have they played? There's a direct correlation between who you play and your chances of winning and losing. And, you know, sometimes I think fans and people don't understand that correlation very well. But, you know, it's easier to play teams that have the same kind of talent you do than it is to play people that have a lot better talent than you do.
After the Hawaii game, you mentioned the fight that your football team had. They did. They showed the same thing last year against Boise when they were down 27-7, I believe, at halftime.
Right.
Does that confidence that they built last year with that comeback to pulling it within two?
Yeah, I mean, I think this Boise team this year is a lot better team than they were last year. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, I think all you got to do is look at the stats. You know, I think they had a really good team last year, but, I mean, they had 21 guys back, if I'm not mistaken. And so, I mean, they're a year better, you know, and that's like us. I mean, however many guys we got coming back next year, we're going to be a whole lot better now than we were last year. And so it's all, you know, it kind of comes out in the wash a little bit in terms of they are, they're better, they're more confident, you know, we're playing on the road. You know, and I'm sure that those guys are well aware of the BCS and what's going on with that and, you know, and the need to play extremely well, you know, on national television. You know, when you're the only game on and you're sitting there thinking, well, if I'm a voter in the AP or the coaches poll or whoever votes on the Harris or whatever, then, you know, I mean, you got to be thinking this is a great chance to make an impression on people. So, I mean, there's going to be a tremendous amount of motivation on their part to play as well as possible, other than the fact that they have, you know, great pride in their program.
Where was Eric Harper last week?
He didn't dress. You know, just kind of had some team-related stuff. I mean, he's doing fine. I mean, he'll be fine. He just didn't dress for last week's game.
Coach, being an offensive guy, how many teams in the country do you watch and sort of admire, and is Boise's offense one of them?
Yeah. I mean, I took a lot of – you know, I was in the Pac-10 and had a chance to watch them because they had played Oregon State and they had played Oregon. And so had a chance to watch them on film a lot. And what they do on offense is interesting. You know, they do what good football teams do. And, you know, what you try to do offensively is you know, have an identity, first of all. Just establish some type of identity, whether it's running the wishbone, whether it's running the eye, whether it's spread, whether it's the pistol, whether it's the shotgun, whether it's the, you know, 57 Magnum, whatever it is. You know, you got to have an identity. And so you establish your identity and you have your, you know, one or two go-to run plays and you have your three or four or five go-to quick game passes, and you're going to have your one or two screens you like, and then you're going to have your one or two, three third and long plays, you know, and you want to get good at those plays where you can execute them. And then what you do is you say, okay, how can I, after four or five games, everybody knows, okay, they're going to run one of these three third and long plays. So, you know, they're going to come up with a way to defend it. So what you do offensively is you say, okay, what can we do to hide it? Can we run it out of a different personnel group? Can we shift and motion to it? Can we do it out of unbalanced? And, you know, and then you figure out ways to hide it. And the way we use deception is by going fast. You know, we get to the line of scrimmage, we snap the ball fast. And that is basically our motion and our shifting, because the defense doesn't have a chance to really see what you're in as much. And so, you know, our deception is going fast. Well, Boise's is, you know, personnel changes and motions and shifts and you know, creative ways to hide it. And so that's the cat and mouse game that happens every week. You know, I think that's the, you know, there's very few football teams anymore that can line up in the eye and say, you know, we're going to whip your tail. Here we come. And, you know, 15 years ago, that's what people did, you know, and now it's just harder to do that. The gap in talent's not that great anymore, and you know, there's enough ways to do things defensively to keep people a little bit more honest maybe than they used to. But I just don't think you can – I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of players you have. You know, you have to have some type of deception in your offense to be able to you know, hide your tendencies, because you're going to have them. And so they're very creative in what they do. And as I said, at Arizona, we copied a lot of the stuff that they did, and especially, you know, the shifts and motions. And then we took it and did our own little spin on it, just like everybody does. And, you know, and they're doing a lot of stuff that probably, you know, that they do in the NFL in terms of motioning and shifting and doing things. But it looks really complicated to us watching it, but I'm sure it's really simple to them. And that's exactly what you want to do on offense. You want to look, you know, as complicated as possible, but be as simple as possible.
Where does Boise rank, or how do they compare to the best teams you either coach against or coach for, in terms of just the confidence they play with? You know, they seem like the most unflappable team in the country, even when you see Alabama or Ohio State.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think they're probably playing with as much confidence as anybody. I think that's the impressive thing about these guys, is they don't get too high and they don't get too low. You know, you see a lot of teams across the country that, you know, will eke out a win against somebody who they ought to beat bad one week, and then the next week pour it on somebody that they probably shouldn't beat as bad. And these guys just, you know, dispose of people the way that they're supposed to, and which is hard to do. I mean, that's really, you know, the way college football is now and the ups and downs that these kids have, that's probably the most impressive thing about them, is just their ability to, you know, to be the same every week. Just a consistent workmanlike effort, intensity, start, you know. And you go through, and most teams have a couple of boneheaded plays during the year, and you just don't see it from these guys. I mean, they're just, you know, they're exactly what you want as a football program and as a football team. You know, it seems like they play to their capabilities every single week. And again, you know, very seldom do you see that.
Is that, you know, the last couple of things, does that come from discipline? The last thing?
I think so. I think it comes from consistency, you know, and discipline. But again, I mean, the key to their whole thing is just, you know, all these guys, they've all played, they're all experienced, and they've all had the same guy coaching them for a long time. And they have a plan, and they stick to it. And, you know, they know what they're looking for in recruiting. They've got a plan, and then they just work their plan, and their players have confidence in their coaches and in each other, and like I said, they're just really unflappable.
More in particular, what makes him so good, especially in terms of being able to, you know, have basically no mistakes? He has what, one interception on the year, and being as, you know, as aggressive as they are.
Yeah, they're just you know, they don't take a lot of chances. They pick their spots. You know, they're very good at creating matchups, you know, and have a really good feel for the game in terms of, you know, hey, we're going to take a shot here. And, you know, and they've got a good feel for it. And when they do take a shot, typically they're getting one-on-one coverage. And, you know, when you get that, it's pretty you know, not always high percentage throws, but very few interceptions as a result. And it's the same thing. I mean, how many balls? You know, you got to figure you're going to throw the ball a certain number of times. You're going to get one tipped, and it's going to go to the other team. It just doesn't happen with those guys. You know, the quarterback has an idea on the offensive lineman, and the offensive lineman understand the protection, and there's always throwing lanes, and the receivers don't tip balls, and the quarterback and receivers are on the same page, and I mean they're fun to watch.
Boise State runs a lot of routes that are running all the way across the field, running through in and out of zones, and we've run a lot of man this season. Will there be less man this week?
There'll be some. I mean, it's like any other week. You know, we'll pick our poison and try to. You know, do you stand back there and let them pick you apart and drive it down the field? You know, it's like anything else. It's a little bit like Idaho. You know, if you give that guy all day to throw, he's going to find somebody open, even if you drop eight guys. Well, do you zero blitz him? If you zero blitz him, then, you know, you make him throw it quicker, but there's not as much coverage. Now there's more chances for a bigger play as a result. And so it's a cat and mouse game that happens all the time. And we do what we do. We got to do what we do defensively. You know, I don't think – we'll mix it up just like we always do.
Anything else? All right.
Thanks, guys.